With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back in the Critter Shed.
We are.
This week we have a slightly different programme, and I sort of see it as a bit of a memoriam.
Yeah, slightly down, slightly downer. But yeah, so to get into it, I was working with the Herpetological Society on a site out in Talla to try and encourage amphibians and biodiversity into an area by increasing the wetlands, basically putting in ponds. So I came across this site about a year ago, roughly, which was an old dumping ground for silt and rubble that had naturally rewilded itself and became a wetland. And of course, I was delighted because it's great to see nature coming back and taking over a place. I went to the council that I've been working with and I notified them about the potential of this place and how there were protected species already living in it. And they were very, very happy and seemed to be moving forward with us in getting it not only protected but kind of aesthetically more pleasing, putting boardwalks in so people can walk and have a look and gain access, because it was quite muddy and you were down there with me. It was quite wild to get in there. But unfortunately, there was some mix-up in the council between the engineering section. Well, this is what I'm assuming happened. We've yet to really fully find out. But as of now, it seems like there was a mix-up between the engineering department and the heritage department, and long and short of it is that a lot of silt was dumped on that wetlands. So when I came across, I was quite devastated and upset, and I kicked up a bit of a fuss, which, you know, ended up being brought up in our parliament. You know, it goes to show how much people really cared, because it did kick off. It was in the national news and even in the UK. There is an ongoing investigation happening. We're going to hopefully get some good out of that.
And while that's going on, what we wanted to do was, you and I actually visited the wetlands with a couple of other people. One of them was an ecologist by the name of Evan Cochran.
Yes.
And we were looking at bats. And we'd like to present this as, it's a bit of a memorial to it, and hopefully it might be restored.
It's a testament to what it was, I suppose. It's a testament of what happens when you leave nature alone, and even in an urban area, and how beautiful it can get over a decade and just become like a little oasis. But yeah, it's been pretty negative experience for me. So I suppose it's nice just to listen to the good times, the nice times when we were down there just enjoying the wildlife. And as I said, we're going to be positive and move on to other projects and try and afford them better protection. And I think if anything good has come from this whole incident, I think there will be thought put into any process of dumping silt from now on nationwide. And
fantastic. So we hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, enjoy our once beautiful wetlands. We're in Talla, as you can probably hear with all the traffic. Talla is a suburban area just outside of Dublin city centre, up and coming. There's a couple of 100,000 in it.
Right.
Really exploding. Flat complex going up everywhere, which used to be all farmland, this place would have been.
Yeah.
So you've got a big stadium here. Beside you have a little park. And running through the park is a stream called the Whitestown Stream, which is a green belt that feeds right into the housing estates.
And because it's a stream, obviously they can't build too close to it, so that allows bushes and trees and all sorts of shrubbery to grow, and that gives a little path for animals to walk through and gives them a little bit of habitat that's left. And that stream also, we can cross over now, that stream also links a couple of parks, which is what we're trying to do, is to link up all the public parks so wild animals can move from the Dublin mountains down right into the city, right into the parks. And it gives them the opportunity to have some breeding space. They're not just caught in one park and can't move on to another one. This particular area has a wild spot in the park that was never pruned or managed. And nature being the wonderful beast that she is, it's been completely taken over by willows and ivies and irises and wildflowers, and it's amazing, an amazing sight. So we're kind of working with the council now at the moment, and that's why we're up here tonight, is to see what animals are here and what we can do to protect them.
We're actually sort of at the foothills of the Dublin Mountains,
yeah,
aren't we?
That's it, yeah. You can see it's all the swamp as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to meet Evan, who we met before, talking about badgers.
Yeah.
And she's got a bat detector. She's going to help us see if we can find bats here tonight, because that's what we're targeting. So welcome to the Critter Shed's first bat hunt. Cue Batman music.
So we're passing by now. We have sort of manicured grass on our right-hand side. On our left, we have a pond. And then just beside the pond, it does look quite wild.
Yeah, so that's the place that's been let go.
Let go back to nature, you mean?
Yeah, and it's doing its own thing, and it's really excellent. It's great to see. If you walk up here now, you're going to see all the different little wet spots where the frogs are breeding. There's newts in there. We saw eels in the big pond.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's mad. If you just let things alone, sometimes it's the best form of conservation is just to leave it. And that's a lovely smell of pond.
And all the dancing flies.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So hopefully they'll be enticing bats into our vicinity.
Yeah, that's what we're really hoping for. Even that smell of the pond is gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Takes me right back to being a kid. That tadpole mucky smell that my mother hated. Dragging mud into the house.
So it's quite marshy, so yep. A bit of bog going on here. So you're kneeling down into grass that has that very boggy area. A tadpole! Wow, you just picked up a tadpole in your hand.
Straight away. They're
Jesus,
everywhere here.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of diving beetles and all sorts of great little bits of bugs and stuff.
So this looks like flooded ground, and it's just full of life.
Yeah. If you were walking past this, you wouldn't think much of it, but it's just a puddle, but it is crawling with life. You can see all the tiddies moving around in there. There's newts in here. The adult frogs are moving around as well at night. It's really cool. You can see all the lovely irises are coming up.
Mm. So in front of us we have mounds of earth.
Yep.
And nettles. And what are those beautiful yellow things?
Rape seeds. The
oh,
wild
right.
one.
Yeah. And the irises.
Willows.
Willows, yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Very, very rich.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. And that brings us then to the subject of quote unquote weeds. So what we're looking at is what we would have gotten rid of when we were kids, nettles and stuff, but actually that's really vital for 100%. Caterpillars and all sorts
yes.
of things.
Yeah. So all your invertebrate life will love that kind of stuff to munch on. There's a lot of butterflies that will specifically live off nettles and some of the weeds that we have here. So
look at the
midges.
Yeah. Midges.
Yeah. Lots of them. So yeah, it's this is a great spot.
Mm.
I'm gonna give Evan a ring and see where she is and
try
and get this ball rolling. Because I don't know.
So I've just popped away for a walk while Collie goes and calls Evan to see if she can find her way here. And I'm looking up at the sky, and right above my head, there are just plumes and plumes of midges. And all types of dancing flies just swirling in the evening. And it's a long time since I've seen anything this rich in Dublin. God, it's amazing. Did you see Neil?
I videoed it. I actually caught it on video.
Did you?
Which is brilliant, yeah.
So say that again. Did you see Neil?
This pond is... the stream I was talking about earlier on that runs right into, obviously into the sea, has obviously brought some eels up. Eels are amazing. Make these amazing journeys to the Sargasso Sea to spawn. And then the elvers come back on the currents, back into the streams where they came from, up into hills and mountains, and they find ponds exactly like this pond here, which is right beside the stream. Mm. And I got an eel on video here the other morning when I was down the survey. It's about 3 foot long. So
wow.
That means it's probably about between 10 and 20 years old.
Really?
They stay that long in the area. And it was feeding up around here. So that's a critically endangered animal.
Wow.
European eel.
Yeah.
They're protected, obviously, and it puts another string in the bow as to trying to get an area like this protected, you know?
Yeah. I've just been standing over there by the stream.
Have you heard the wildlife?
Yeah, and the amount of flies just floating around in this amazing plume of flies.
Well, that's hopefully
that in ages.
We're going to hear some bats ticking on our bat detectors and see how many we can, if those flies will draw them in.
Yeah. Two of them are just mated. I just saw two mating.
Flies?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Look at how many there are. Like,
millions.
When was the last time you saw so many?
I know, especially in the... Well...
Look, two mating there. Look.
Oh, very cool.
There you go. Done. Wow.
Quicker than me. Here's my bat lady.
Batman.
Yes. Cue the Batman music again. Na 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 na. Even.
Well, you've got something cool in your hand there, even.
So this is an echometer, which is a bat detector that you can plug into your phone.
Brilliant.
And what it does is it's quite handy.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead.
It has a nice auto ID feature.
Ah.
So you can select which country you're in and select which bats are likely to be around. And it will tell you if what it's picking up is one of those. Different species have different signatures, acoustic signatures that you can actually see.
Yeah.
So it'll do that as well. So we're looking with this, but I also have two old school detectors as well, so we can get those out in a minute.
So what area do you think would likely to have bats?
So Leislers, which are the ones that come out the earliest, tend to hunt over open ground.
Okay.
So we're likely, if we pick them up at all, to sort of get them flying by.
Mm-hmm.
They may actually forage over the grassy areas here, and you'd expect to see them quite high in the sky, and they come out quite early, and oftentimes people don't even realise they're looking at bats because they look like, you know, swallows swooping around after the insects, but they're actually bats. It's really cool, and they're our largest bat as well, so they're quite sizable as far as bats go, so we might actually get to see those as well as hear them, and then after that we'll start to get the other species, hopefully, which would forage around this area because we've got a lot of tree line and hedgerow. Oh, we got bats.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Lydia.
Oh, we can see them.
There we go, look.
Ah, I see one there.
So cool.
So, like, it's still daylight.
Yeah.
And we're seeing them.
It's over here. He's coming along the hedge.
Along the tree.
There's one there. There's one there. Oh, my God.
Oh, beautiful.
Magic. Oh, here he is. I always thought the bats came out after dark. So you learn something new every day.
Mm. These are the earliest ones that emerge. So they generally come out about a good time to get them.
Sorry, just what species is this again?
This is the Leislers.
Leislers
bat.
Okay.
And they'll come out before sunset now. It's just gone sunset.
Yeah.
But they will forage in kind of over open areas. And they're the first ones that you'll see.
So all those midgets we saw earlier on, the hundreds and thousands of flies, are getting milled out a bit now. Well, a couple of them got the ride before they got eaten, so they went out on a high note.
Well, you know, that's all you want out of life, really, isn't it?
Pretty much.
You see them? Yeah. I love seeing bats.
There it goes again.
Like, apart from the traffic noise, you'd swear you're in the middle of the countryside here. There we go.
There it is over there, see?
He's not calling. He mustn't be calling, because lysers are really loud and you pick them up over a long distance. And I'm not picking up them up on either detector that I have.
That's strange.
Yeah, so he's just flying around.
Maybe he can still see somewhat in the dusk.
Yeah, because they're not blind. Not that's a myth.
A myth, yeah.
Do you want to head over there to where he's flying around? Yeah. We might get him.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Look at the ground here.
Yeah.
It looks like the burn.
It does, except actually. It's like paving. I can hear the crunch of plastic bottles in there too.
But that can all be...
Exactly, that can be taken out, yeah. Whoops, I'm just concentrating on not breaking my neck. It's quite...
Okay, here we go. Now that is a pipistrelle.
Is it?
Yeah.
So two species of bats.
Is a pipistrelle small?
Yeah. Yes. The Leisler is about the size of your palm short ways, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So all five digits wide.
Yeah.
And then your pips will be smaller. They'll be like 3 to 4. That's body length.
And where would they be nesting now in the local area? In trees?
Trees, yeah.
Along the ivies and stuff?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Or people's buildings,
cool.
Attics,
flat roofs.
Yeah, that's mad.
There we go.
Oh my god, two of them.
Oh, flying right over.
And that's their sound you're picking up?
Yeah.
That is magic.
You see those little tick marks on the sonogram? That is the call signature.
Ah.
Just goes to show.
And that's telling us there it's the common pipistrelle.
Ah, right. That's a great catcher on your phone.
Yeah. The noise of that.
That's amazing. So I reckon the Leisler that we picked up earlier must have been far away because it was very faint. There we go. Look at him go.
Look at that. There's a lot of horse flies going around that are going to get nailed.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, right behind us.
Really goes to show. Look at this small little patch, how important it is for these.
And look what we're looking at. Like... urban,
it's great.
Urban, yeah. Crappy stuff, and here we are with these beautiful animals.
But there's room for everybody.
Yeah, totally.
Just give them the space.
Yeah.
You scared them away, Colin. Oh no! Look, they're going back to where we just came from.
In the world came up with the bat detector. I must look that up. That's a great invention, isn't it? God, if they made a frog detector, my life would be a lot handier, I swear to God.
It's getting much darker now.
Yeah.
Still the last few minutes of twilight.
It's the gloaming.
Yes.
The gloaming.
I love that word.
How fill me in, how many species of bats do we have in Ireland?
We have 9 species of bat in Ireland. Now, please don't ask me to name them all, because I'll forget them. So the Leisler's, the common pipistrelle, the soprano pipistrelle, the Daubenton's bat,
But nine
we have actually something that we have, which is really, really cool, but not in this part of the country, is the lesser horseshoe bat.
Oh yeah. Cool.
And that's
really
few, in the west, aren't
yeah,
they?
A few isolated populations down on the west coast.
Cool.
And they are absolutely amazing little bats. They're the very typical ones that, you know, you associate with vampires. They wrap their wings around their bodies and they hang upside down.
So we've got to see two species here already.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And they all come out at different times of night and have different habits and habitats.
Different habitats, different, I guess, things that they forage on, different places that they like to roost.
Brilliant.
So the brown long-eared bat would be a big fan of kind of like old churches the like. We do emergence counts of them coming out of old churches and the roofs.
So you're sitting watching them coming out.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
They're quite hard to pick up on a detector because they're really quiet.
Quiet, all right. I love learning about the evolutionary wars between moths and bats and how the moths can detect the echoes, drop out of the sky.
Scramble the signal.
Yeah. Brilliant. All these different things. I have to say, that's after getting my blood flowing now. Really, really cool.
With these little wet patches that you have around the place, it's great for invertebrate life, which is in turn great for the bats and birds.
Well, I counted 15 different species of spider on the ground the other day.
Really?
Alone. So you had like, and some of them are kind of ones that would be quite unusual as well, especially in a place like in the middle of an urban city area. So they're either here for a long time, or more than likely they ballooned in. They just came in on their own. So
ballooning when they're small, when they're young,
when
and
they're young,
they put out
they use
a
their silk to get around. Yeah, so
they put out a thread of silk and the wind blows them.
That's it. Yeah.
So we're going to head down to a patch of water to see what we can hear and maybe
it's
see.
It's too dark to walk around here.
It's quite precarious stepping over these mounds of very rich growth because we don't know where the holes are. So we're back in the pond.
We're back at the big pond.
You're shining your torch in to see what you can see.
So at night what we're doing is this is lamping. It's lamping the water to see what's in here. Obviously a lot of pond creatures will want to stay hidden and out of sight during the brightness of daytime. Mm-hmm. Herons are not their favourite animal, so, and they would hunt, they're diurnal, so they'd only hunt during the day, so at night time you're going to catch a lot of newts and eels and stuff. So,
God, I'd love to see an eel.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find for you. We may get some luck, we'll see. It's gone quiet in the back front, but
but I tell you one thing, it's not quiet on the midgy front because I'm getting eaten alive.
Are you getting eaten? They're not touching me. Do you know, because like, my blood is like 90% alcohol. Ooh, look at this.
Wow, loads of life in there. So we just leaned into a very shallow area. You're shining your torch. And there's tiny little insects just milling around the place.
So these are water boatmen. Very small species of them. There's Daphne in here. Mm-hmm. We've got these wriggly worms here, which are the blood worms, which are kind of bases of a lot of the food chain. On the top there, you can see that thing walking on the water. Can you make them out?
I can see it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the water skimmers as well. So what a little... In
like 3 inches of water.
3 inches of water. Within 3 inches squared, we've seen all these animals.
Tons of life
in there.
So
this is actually a dugout pit made by the council for flood protection. So you see the two pipes behind me?
Yeah.
If the stream that we were talking about earlier on, if that becomes too saturated, the water from it will just come in here as opposed to going into people's gardens, and this will fill up, and it can fill quite high. You can see how high it's been built up, so it will take in an awful lot of water. And yeah, it was put in about 20 years ago, and look at it crawling with life.
It is amazing.
Just a little opportunity for animals to arrive, and they do.
More pips, so more common pips and Leislers, which we also got earlier as well. So still just the two species, but still.
Are all species of bat protected?
Yes, absolutely. So that's why if you're, you know, if you have them in your attic or in your building and you want to get rid of them, it's not necessarily a problem to get rid of them, but you just have to contact National Parks and Wildlife and they'll assist you with that because you need a license to interfere with the bat roost, and what they'll do is they'll make sure that the bats aren't actually roosting in there at the time before they exclude them. And then they might do things like mitigate with bat boxes that are nearby, so give them alternative places to go. So, you know, it's an issue that can be managed.
God, I'd love to have bats roosting in
I know, but I believe it stinks, though.
Oh, really?
After a while, the accumulation of the old bat shit is not so nice, you know.
Right. So it's still not quite dark, but it's really getting there.
It'll take a long time before it gets completely dark now. Oh, there we go. Flew right in front of us. Oh, so that would be
Soprano.
Come back.
Are they the smaller ones?
They physically don't look necessarily any different to the common pipistrelles, but they echolocate at a slightly different frequency. So at a higher frequency, hence Soprano.
Three species. Amazing.
It flew right in front of us as well. Ran right in front of us.
The lesser known running bat.
That's brilliant.
I really am happy that the road lights are not very bright.
But it's perfect. It's an absolutely perfect habitat. It's just in the right area for whatever reason for a lot of animals to do really well. And if you're looking at this pond, so there's two ponds parallel to each other. Mm-hmm. There's a large one that's an ornamental one for ducks, and I'm about to pop my torch in there and there's nothing.
Right.
You pop your torch in there and it's teeming with life, because one is heavily managed and one is left alone.
Managed meaning?
Just because they have to keep it dredged and cleaned out, and it will get drained every so often for
other moving plants.
Yeah, and a lot of there's a lot of duck life and people throwing in bread and stuff, and it's just crap habitat. Terrible water as well.
On a sidebar, don't give bread to ducks ever.
Don't give bread to birds, full stop.
Yep.
That's a great result. As we said, we're coming up here to try and establish how many animals are here, adding more and more to our list, more reason to protect the area. It just adds to the armoury of defending the place as a natural habitat. And that's what you got to do. If you have a local area that you want to protect, find out what's there. Talk to your local environmentalists. Any group that you can get involved in, get them down. Be proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah.
Don't give out about something after it's getting flattened. Try and protect it before it gets flattened.
I reckon if we go down to the water.
The water, yeah.
We'll have a look and see if there's dogs. All right,
so we're standing on the bridge, a lot of activity.
Standing on the bridge, there's a lot of activity. You've got a nice bit of smooth water here, downstream from that kind of weir. You've got a line of trees along the waterway. You've got that lovely big line of hedgerows connecting to it as well. So it's a nice little confluence of features that are ideal for hunting.
So we're looking at your screen again, and we're seeing the activity. And I'm seeing audio signatures just zooming across the top of the screen.
What you're seeing, this here is the waterfall in the background.
Yeah.
Those peaks are us speaking.
Okay.
And then hopefully when we get another bat pass, you'll see and hear what it sounds like. Of course, not what it sounds like in reality. It's what we can convert it into a frequency that we can hear. Apparently, younger people, children and young adults can hear that.
I can hear clicks at
you
night.
You must have really, really good...
I can hear clicks. I do, genuinely. Especially if I'm out fishing and you can hear the odd...
Yeah.
Very, very
See,
faint.
For an owl lad, you have really good hearing.
That's it. And but, a figure to match it. But,
and modesty. Modesty too.
Hashtag humble. Isn't it? So three species of bat in this area.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So you can see the way it's like... Come back. Common pipistrelle again.
Wow. Can you smell that water, how bad it is?
No.
Really bad. That's really bad water.
So there's a great smell and great hearing.
There's an industrial estate just up beyond here. I have a large nose. There's an industrial estate just beyond here, and all the effluent that comes in off all the spraying and cars and oil goes directly into the river and comes along.
It's interesting to get the water quality tested, though, because
it's
crap.
We've already done it.
Have you?
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of life. Like
there's sticklebacks. If you do kick surveys, there's no invertebrates.
Really?
No. So stickleback fish will live anywhere.
Right. Okay.
They're really bad. There's kick surveys is basically turning over stones in the river.
You've got your bats foraging on insects around
here.
You've got your heron.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
There he is. Is that feeding? The little buzz. That's saying we got an Orthusius pip, but I don't know if...
Is that another species?
Now, don't get excited. Sometimes it picks up things that it thinks are a bat. That's why you have to kind of rely on what it looks like as well. And you can't just go, oh, that's exactly what it was. No, you see, that was just...
Yeah.
Something that it thought might have been a bat, but it actually wasn't.
Could it pick up some fella farting in the bush across the
way? Well, this is it.
Some old alco.
I'm going to suggest, by the way, that we hit the road fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Because...
We're in a parking tala.
We are in a parking tala.
But that was great. That was really, really good. So you're feeling good, Collie.
I feel great. I mean, like a month ago when I came across this place, I thought this is awesome, and then immediately thought it's gonna get flattened. But having talked to local heritage officers in the council, who are very cool and enthusiastic environmentalists, and having surveyed a bit myself with the amphibians, found them here, found the eel, found some cool spiders. Now we're even here, we're after finding these three species of bat. That's a really, really good start.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing start. So who wants a football pitch over that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And who would justify it?
Yeah.
There's a bat just went over our heads. Oh my God. Just to say goodbye. Look at him.
Ah,
he's just gone over us again.
Wow.
That's like a mad omen.
Right off the main road.
Yeah, that's it. Not a bother.
I have to say that listening back to that recording there makes me feel really, really sad now to think that almost everything that we saw and walked on that night has been essentially buried alive under a metre and a half of silt. But anyway, there's an investigation ongoing and hopefully lessons will be learned and maybe we'll be able to stop stuff like this happening in the future. Anyway, on a positive note, Colleen and I would like to let you know that we're now part of the Warren Network. So what's the Warren? Well, it's a brand new network of really innovative, beautifully produced Irish podcasts. And you'll still find The Critter Shed in all the usual places, but you can also hop along to thewarren.ie and check out our fellow podcasters down in the boroughs. Fancy a trip down a rabbit hole with a difference? Join us in the Warren. A Warren is a network of interconnecting rabbit burrows.
The Warren is a podcast network and home to the most remarkable and innovative podcasts in Ireland.
Podcasts like Petrified, How to Be Sound,
The Critter Shed,
Meet Your Maker,
Science Drops,
and The Dublin Story Slam. We're a group of Irish podcasters passionate about stories.
And Ireland's soil is rich in stories.
Which is why we've made our home here.
The Warren. The home of great Irish podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.